From CUTC in St. Louis, Missouri, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of June. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'll update you on the happenings here in St. Louis at the Corn Utilization Technology Conference. In particular, we'll talk about datum and how it's flowing from the farm through the input suppliers and into the food supply system. We'll learn more about that. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast tube. Don Day should be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. On this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson is here. He's from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it was a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday. Tell me about the markets as we go into the close, because we're recording just a bit early today.
Well, you know, we come in, we sort of touched some bottoms, we bounced off some technical points, even though some technical damage been done. And then when we reopened, we saw the beans sort of tail off. It looked like things weren't going well in China. And then mid-morning, we got a report that they're offering to buy something in the neighborhood of $75 billion more agricultural products if we do away with the tariffs. Now, we're not sure what Washington's going to say to that. We sure hope they're saying yes, but a little bit of doubt out there. And we backed up a little bit now to what we were. But that was the main thing happening early this morning. And then we come back, and we've seen new spec demand in the wheat. There's concerns about the Black Sea area yields. And then, of course, we got the European monthly weather calls for that calls for dryness across the central U.S. for the next 2 months. So that's about what's been going on today.
So the bulk of the wheat crop is grown in the northern hemisphere. Is it possible that this could lead the rest of the market higher as long as something on the trade front doesn't fall apart?
Yes, if the trade front can keep going, we can maybe continue to see green again tomorrow. We'd like to see some progress being made on the NAFTA agreement also. But that seems to be sort of at a standstill right now. But a lot of the people, a lot of the spec money is sort of staying to the sidelines, not knowing what the next tweet might be, not knowing what the next word out of China, Canada, or Mexico might be.
How's the trade taking the back and forth on this trade? Are they feeling okay about what's happening in Washington, D.C.? Are they concerned about the way the president and the Trump administration is handling the trade negotiations? Or maybe you can just simply talk about some of the stress, if there is any, that it puts on brokers and others in the marketplace.
I think stress is a really good word to use when we're talking about these kind of negotiations. I think we see some very violent reactions when things are going on along the way with this. Some very temperamental feelings, I guess, when we aren't maybe taking some of these things that look so good for agriculture, and they're wanting to worry about some of the intellectual properties that don't seem to affect us in our industry near as much.
Am I right that farmers mostly would be settled on what the sales they've already made for both corn and soybeans until we get into the June-July time frame, a little bit later in this month, that is, and that this might not be such a bad time for them as it relates to Washington, D.C., and sort of the tactics that have been taking place?
Well, if we can end up with a good deal when it's all said and done and not get into what we'd really like to see happen, is not implement the tariffs, because once they're implemented, they're hard to get rid of. And we know that the Asian culture does not like to lose face. And I think that they would become very stubborn if we implement the tariffs first that way. So we're hoping to see some sort of settlement before the tariffs are actually implemented. I do think that they've got a good share done now. They're waiting to see if our crops look tremendous today. But boy, as we look at how fast the soil is drying out, look at that European 2 month forecast, and also look at how far behind we are compared. We're one of the driest years as far as moisture in central Indiana and central Illinois, for that matter. So, we're looking at the idea that we could be moisture deficit if we don't get some of these fronts moving through later. So a lot of things to look at before we price too much more of our crop.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, don't forget that I'll be on the road over the next couple of days. We'll be in Sonoman tomorrow and Springfield on Thursday. That with the Roach Ag Marketing Grain Elevator Tour. And then on Monday of next week, Fairview, Macomb, and Beardstown, Ashland, Gibson City, and Coal City on Tuesday. And I'll wrap things up on June 13th at the Grain Elevator Tour in Hartsburg, Illinois. And as we finish things up for that week on the 14th of June, I'll be emceeing an event with the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference that takes place in Galena. I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason coming to you today from CUTC. That's the Corn Utilization Technology Conference taking place the first 3 days of this week in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a conference where really corn growers and some of their suppliers, input suppliers and others, get together and they talk about what the future might look like as it relates to corn, whether that's in products or other services. We're joined now by a couple of folks that were speaking this morning to the group about big data, really, and data services. One of them is Wendell Rich. He's with Ingredient Incorporated out of Indianapolis. That's where he's based anyway. And Roger Tyson is with Corteva, which is the brand new name once DowDuPont combined and they separate completely out into the three companies. It's the name of the company that will own Pioneer Seeds and the chemical company. So Corteva is a company I'm sure most of you are already familiar with. Roger, why were you involved in this process and what will you be looking at using as it relates to data?
Well, so I was involved. The gentleman that had my role before me was on the planning committee, and one of the topics that they haven't really discussed it in a group like this is around digital agriculture. And digital ag is becoming more of not just what we're doing at the grower level, but really what we're doing in processing. And it is going to be a way that we are going to be able to reach consumer demand on understanding where their food comes from.
How do you do that?
Well, so, you know, by understanding where using digital ag and understanding where corn is grown, what products or inputs are used on that corn, and then where it's going through the supply chain process, digital technologies have to be used to understand that. So that will help be able to tell a story about the products that they're consuming someday.
So the consumers demanding, and I'm going to say not the consumers, but the manufacturers of food products are demanding, because consumers are ultimately wanting to know some traceability factors, whether that's where the farm is, what products were used on the farm, how a product that incorporates corn in this case might actually have been treated on the farm field.
Yeah, so it'll, this will depend on the food company or on the manufacturer. Sustainability is certainly a big piece. People want to know that we are being responsible in agriculture. So we are, and we need to just tell that story. Digital ag allows us to tell that story. So if your story is around sustainability and how we are taking care of the land and producing the inputs that make some of our current food products today, or if it's on, you know, what kind of products are out there? Is it a white corn? Is it a waxy corn? Is it a yellow food grade corn? Digital ag really helps us just tell that story and for the consumer, for the processor, and then for the consumer to understand that.
This is a difficult process, especially when you're talking about commodity like corn. Although some of the food grade corn may be more traced than others already. Wendell Rich, you work for Ingredient. This is a company that I believe creates ingredients that other companies would use. So what kinds of things are we talking about that are produced from corn? And then tell me a little bit about how the data collection might happen for you.
There are many many products that are produced from corn. Surprisingly, many things that we use daily in our lives, such as sweeteners, texture agents. Also, adhesives are made from corn. And corn starch is also used to in the paper industry very heavily.
So are the end users of your products, the ingredients that you create, asking that you trace them or have some kind of data backflow from them?
Yes, our customers who are in the business of manufacturing food have asked that we meet the Sustainable Ag Initiative requirements and provide that traceability back to the grower level.
What is that set of requirements? Where does it come from?
It's a government set of requirements, and I'm not sure where that was initiated beginning, but it certainly is embraced by retailers and manufacturers very broadly.
And they believe that they're able to sell a product at a premium because of this? Usually these are driven by the marketplace.
It's not necessarily always a premium. It is what the consumer is asking for. And industry usually delivers what a consumer is asking for. And in this particular case, it's a new requirement, a unique requirement. But because growers are very conscientious and environmentally sound in their practices in our modern times, it's a very easy request to supply.
The customer's always right. What kind of data do you want collected?
Well, we collect data that indicates whether or not the most effective use of resources has been made in the production of every bushel of corn.
So I'm going to make a leap of faith here and say that there's a link somewhere, maybe not directly between the two of your companies, but that the data has to be collected from the farm in some form. That takes a lot of work, and that Corteva will be looking into ways to help farmers make that collection happen.
Yeah, so Corteva has a company named Granular and Inserca. So those two data businesses will help growers probably more than the tracking or traceability right now, but more on the agronomic side, be able to be to have the information they need to make the correct agronomic decisions. And those then someday could leap into that tracking and traceability piece as well.
Producers have gotten to the point, I think, and maybe it's just because I asked the question, but they want to know what deliverables come back to them from using these products, for instance, Granular.
Yeah, so I think that the number one deliverable back to them is profitability. Commodity prices are squeezed right now, and data tools will add to profitability at a farming operation. We can pinpoint acres or parts of acres that are not profitable, and we can make decisions then and on those acres using digital information. We've never been able to do that before digital technology. So profitability is by far the number one focus that we want with the consumer.
So as a company, Corteva will be tasked with making sure the inputs are available to producers, seed corn in this case, maybe chemical that might be used on top of that. You sell seeds. However, profitability doesn't necessarily always come with greater sales of seeds, meaning if you plant more seed, too many seeds per acre, your yields go down. Or maybe that the highest yields aren't the most profitable on the farm, and Granular actually probably could help you figure that out. Those sound like they don't actually work that well together all the time.
I think they do. I think if the grower is profitable, he will reward the person that is helping him with that task. So if profitability means less seeds for on that acre, then maybe I will be rewarded for more seeds on other acres. If profitability is more bushels, then I'll be rewarded for bringing him the germplasm and the technology to help increase those bushels. So I think I think the one can help the other, even though they look like they're conflicting.
So what data do you need, for instance, from a Corteva?
We would need to know the agronomic data as far as yield potential, relative maturity, recommended areas that it could be grown, but also we need to know more the content that germplasm is characteristic for, starch levels, and total production per acre.
Well, interesting, because this means that the end user, the food processor, might have a direct impact on the genetics based on the data that's coming back from a producer of those ingredients.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think it is my responsibility for the company to listen to the ingredients of the world and make sure that my research group understands what industry is looking for. And if we are not providing that type of product, we need to make sure that we can steer research into the direction that provides them what their growers need so that they can provide it for their ingredient companies, their food companies that they're providing ingredients to.
Gentlemen, thanks so much. Roger Tyson, of course, is with Corteva Agrosciences. That's the division of Dow DuPont. And Wendell Rich is with Ingredient Incorporated. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies. Harry Cooney is here. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Hey, Harry, thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
Indeed it is, also here in St. Louis. Can you tell me a little bit about the seasonal trends as it's related to the agricultural energies, maybe gasoline, diesel, those sorts of things?
Well, it is interesting. You have a good question, because right here at this time of the year, the energy seasonals sell off. They show a historical seasonal trend for energy prices to weaken from about early or mid-May into about mid to late June. So far, we've seen a peaking out in the market. And if you look at the diesel fuel market, the proxy there is heating oil futures. They peaked out about the 20th or 25th of May and have been on a sell-off here in the last couple of weeks. Same thing going on in propane. Propane's wanting to hold a little firmer than the rest of the complex, but propane's slowly drifting down also.
What do the stocks of diesel look like?
Well, the stocks of diesel are more on the bottom of the barrel right now. Now, that doesn't mean that we're running out at all, but we are on the lower end of the historical range for this time of the year. So, fortunately, the profitability for refiners has been pretty good in making diesel fuel, so that's sending the signal to the market that, hey, we need to start replenishing these diesel stocks ahead of the late summer hurricane, the peak of the hurricane season, but of course, for those of us in the Midwest, ahead of the big fall harvest season there in the fall.
And the LP supply?
Well, the LP supply is starting to see a build. The build period now in propane each week throughout the summer normally occurs, and we've already started to see that process. So we'll start to watch the builds and see how well they develop throughout the rest of the summer, and look for opportunities to do some pricing for fall grain drying needs and winter home heat needs in the coming weeks.
Hey, thanks so much, and you have a great afternoon.
You too, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark. In a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at CUTC. That's the Corn Utilization Technology Conference in St. Louis today. Don Day is now here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Well, let's start in Texas, where wheat harvest should be underway. Work our way to the north across those hard red winter wheat growing regions, please.
Well, recently, in the last 5 days, we actually did finally get some rain in some of those areas of Texas that we're talking about right now. Certainly they need it, but it wasn't enough to make conditions too bad to get out there and get some harvest operations going. And in the coming next week or so, don't see a lot of weather there. So in terms of the weather impeding harvest operations, doesn't look like much of a factor. Now, next week, As you go north, there does look to be a little bit of an increase in the Texas Panhandle and into portions of central and western Oklahoma and Kansas, where they could see some shower and thunderstorm activity. Again, though, we're looking at very dry ground in those areas and probably not enough to make things too muddy.
Now, a follow-up in just a moment about Missouri and some of those other places that are under drought conditions, the south-central part of Iowa. But move just a little further north into the northern plains, maybe parts of Canada. I think they may have been dry in some of those places, too.
Well, they have. If you go up into south central areas of Canada, you get up into areas that are just north of North Dakota. Those areas have turned drier here over the last several weeks. The heaviest precipitation has been right along Interstate 80 and Interstate 90 across Nebraska and South Dakota. You go north and south of that area, it's much drier. And that area north of Interstate 90 across North Dakota into southern and south central Canada has remained dry and looks to be, while there is a little bit of rain in the forecast, looks to be drier than normal.
Row crop farmers in northern Missouri and south central Iowa have been suffering under tough conditions early in the season. USDA saw fit to talk about that in their state statisticians report yesterday from Iowa. I'm wondering what you see there.
Well, there is some rain coming to those areas, both in northern Missouri and south central areas of Iowa, stretching into Illinois. There's going to be an active shower and thunderstorm activity developing, especially later this week and into the middle of next week. Rainfall amounts there could be on the order of 2 to 3 inches in some areas. So some of those dry areas, at least at the moment from what we're seeing, are looking at getting some rain.
How do things look from Des Moines northward into Minnesota?
That area looks to have some good chances for moisture. The further north, though, you go into Minnesota, the southern end of Minnesota looks to be favorable for rain. Central and northern Minnesota looks to be drier.
Anything to talk about in the eastern Corn Belt?
Well, that is one area that is looking like, at least in regards to temperatures, is going to be on the western edge of some coolness. There's a cool pattern that is developing over eastern areas of the United States, and that eastern Corn Belt, a little bit cooler than normal looking ahead.
And finally, if you could check in on one of the growing regions across the planet, the second largest corn crop is grown in China, the northeastern portion of that nation. They've been dry. What do you see there?
Well, they're going to continue to be dry. Now, there is some potential for some thunderstorm activity that will reach that growing area here over the next week. But we're going to see the rain falling not on a widespread basis. So while some of that northeast portions of China region will get a little bit of rain, most of northeast China is going to remain drier than average.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm at the CUTC. That's the Corn Utilization Technology Conference in St. Louis today, but we'll be on the road quite a bit over the next week and a half or so with Roach Ag Marketing. We'll be in Sonoman tomorrow and then in Springfield on Thursday. And next week, we've got a really busy week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can check out all the details at willag.org. Just look in the calendar, and I hope to see you at one of those events. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.